Okay, is everybody ready?
Okay, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing. This is the second talk. It's going to be about 45 minutes long, and we're just diving deeper and deeper into this ocean of love that is the divine will. And Jesus says, I remember when I first read it, he says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean and drown. And I went, well, that doesn't sound too good, you know. But it's drowning in love. That's the thing. This is so important to the Lord that we get back to what he has planned from the beginning. And what he has planned from the beginning is that we be in his image and likeness. So we're starting today at volume 33, 5, 6, 1934. My daughter, yet in our mind, the primary purpose of redemption, the whole reason for redemption, Jesus says, was to restore the kingdom of the divine will back in humanity. This is where we're supposed to live. And since since Adam obeyed Lucifer, I will not serve, I will not obey, that's where we've been for 6,000 years. And now Jesus is saying to us, I want you to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness, which is not new at all. For us, it's new, but this is what he breathed into Adam. So he says, we would have lacked the order and would have acted against nature if in descending from heaven, I had saved the creatures, but I had not rescued our most holy divine will and restored our kingdom in humanity. He says, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be a good God. He says, in which is divine, our most beautiful acts that we have placed in them. We're learning from Jesus how to do divine things. Now, how do we do divine things? We say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. And that's a divine act. Jesus is doing that. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. That is a divine act. Jesus is doing it. So what we're doing for everyone, and this is the best part. He said to Louisa, as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, would you stand in the breach for my children? So this is what you do. It's not only your children, your grandchildren, but for all of humanity from the beginning to the end, that we stand in the breach and we say to the Lord, I'm sorry for sinning, for turning away from you. And I pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, future. So in the divine will, God hears all of humanity praying that prayer, that I love you, that I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you with our voice. All of humanity hears everyone. So when we learn, when we discipline ourselves to pray the rounds, to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, heaven and earth is changing. Why is everything changing? Why is everything seeming to be falling apart? The kingdom is coming. If you've lived in a shanty all your life with no water and no heat, and your latrine was outside in a bucket, you know, and somebody gives you $1 million, you're going to build a nice house. Jesus says, give me your rusty penny of your human will, and I will give you endless gold. It will never end. And this is what's happening. God is asking us to let go of the human and embrace the divine. So that's when the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice every day. This is such a powerful prayer. We have to participate in this prayer of the priest. Yes, Lord, may we share in your divinity again where Adam was. Share your divinity where you, Jesus, the new Adam, where you, Mary, the new Eve, lived. I want this. See, there has to be that longing in us. There has to be that desire in us for nothing less than the divine. We want the divine. So what God is showing us is what I've got planned for humanity is new. But it's not really new. It's what Adam had. It's new. But it's not new. It's the life of Jesus and Mary. It's new for us. Because our whole life is focused on misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, basta. I always thought my grandmother was swearing at me when I was a kid. She'd go, basta. And I go, oh, geez. She's really angry. She was just saying, enough, stop. So what God has got planned, He wants us to enter into this abundant life. This is what the divine will is. So Jesus says, we would have lacked the order and would have acted against God's nature if in descending from heaven I saved humanity, but I had not rescued our divine will and restored our divine kingdom in my children, Jesus says, and which is divine. This is our most beautiful act that we triumph God had placed in humanity in the beginning, in the origin of humanity. And it is now the end of everything. It's going to be, it's a totality that's coming. But who it is that does not think of saving himself first and then others? No one. And if he cannot save himself, it is a sign that he shall neither have the virtue nor the power to save others. So by restoring the kingdom of my divine will in humanity, I did the greatest act. This Christ crucified is the glory of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. You must have Jesus crucified in your home. The devil would rather see a cross at your home, a cross with a word on it, a cross with a dove on it, but he doesn't want to see the power of God, the glory of God, the wisdom of God. See, Christ crucified is everything. And that's why if you're complaining, you haven't meditated on Christ crucified enough. And again, what's coming up is Lent. Focus on the 24 hours of the Passion. You know, get people in your community, in your parish, to pray with you. And go through this. Again, it might, if you haven't done it yet, it might start off slow. But what it's going to do, it's going to bring people in who Jesus is bringing in. We're doing nothing. God is just saying, get ready for what I am going to do. That what the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is a divine act. It's a divine mandate of God. Like creation was a divine mandate. Redemption was a divine mandate. Now sanctification is a divine mandate. So he says, by restoring the kingdom of my divine will, in humanity, I, God, did the greatest act that only a God could do since securing my very life in humanity. By saving myself, all were placed in safety. No more dangers. Because they have a divine life now in their power, in which they would find all the goods that humanity would ever want. See, when the kingdom comes, when that divine will reigns on earth in us, this dust, as it is in heaven, God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Everything changes. All there is glory. Praise, adoring God. You want to be with our Lord. You want to be with our Eucharistic Lord. You want to spend time with Him. You want to learn how to fall in love with Him. See, each of us has a different prayer. Nobody else has the prayer that God has given you. The prayer that God has given you, no one else can pray. It's your prayer. It's your I love you to God. And it's only you could do this. And this is why He wants everyone in heaven. It's like an orchestra. He wants everything there, everyone there. Why? To participate in the beatific vision. How do you participate in the beatific vision? St. Thomas Aquinas says, you're in awe of God for all eternity. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving our God is. And We were created to participate in that beatific vision. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin it now on earth, not after you die. So he says, I rose from the dead so that humanity would rise from the death of their human misery, which we say every week at confession. It's, I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid all the near occasions of sin. And then what happens the next week? You're right there again. Why? The time of sanctification isn't here yet. So he's looking at us. Who's going to keep on climbing the mountain? Who's going to keep on going through those thorn bushes, scraping your knees, sliding up and down the hill? Well, who is going to help you do this? It's God himself, because he's already done it for us. Well, we keep on climbing. What does that mean? We keep on being Catholic. We keep on being obedient. Keep on being faithful to Christ and his church. The devil wants, Cardinal Burke said that, the devil wants to get you out of the church so you could be excommunicated. No, the church is the holy bride of Christ. That's us. And he is asking us to allow him to iron that wedding dress, to get rid of all the stains on that wedding dress, sew up that wedding dress so that he can have this heavenly marriage feast. That's why Our Lady is wearing the veil. Why is she wearing the veil? We're getting ready for the heavenly wedding feast. The veil goes up when the marriage begins. We're waiting, we're anticipating entering into this mystical marriage, greater than a mystical marriage of the saints. And so God has asked us to give our fiat and continue to trust in him. And the more you trust in him, the happier you become. I don't care what kind of a situation it is. An impossible situation is God's miraculous power will cure that, will heal that. Well, God doesn't answer my prayers all the time. Yes, he does. He says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Well, I've been praying, and the person died. I remember that was one of the first people that I prayed for, somebody who was very, very sick. And I gave up smoking cigarettes, I gave up everything, and I said, I know this person's going to be healed. And the person died. And I said to the Lord, I thought you said, ask, believe that you receive it, and it's yours. He says, he's perfectly healed. And I went, see, it's God is in charge. He's got everything planned. And we don't have to discover how we think. It's the way what God wants. And this is what he's saying. He says, so therefore, my redemption, my life, my pains, my death shall serve to dispose humanity to so great a good listen to what he says, as preparation for the great portent of the kingdom of my divine will, in all human generations. This is the thing that people go, what are you talking about, Willis? What are you talking about? The preparation of, he says, of all human generations. This is what Jesus promises Louisa. It will, as we prepare, as we do our rounds, we do our acts in the divine will, what Jesus said, it will look as if Adam never sinned. What does that mean? The evil one has completely failed. Completely failed. He's going to have his tail between his legs in running into hell for the rest of his life. Because he can't kill God. He can't defeat God. See, this is a glorious time. We have to, as Catholics, we have to live this life of Catholic, receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. You know what the church still teaches? No one except a priest can self-communicate, give the host to themselves, not even a deacon. You have to understand, God's got plans. And we've been misled, we've been misdirected, and this is why we pray for the bishops, we pray for the priests, because many saints have said, the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. The pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. You have to understand, Jesus is asking us to pray. We're no better than anybody else. Therefore, the grace of God go on. Jesus is asking us to bring everyone into the kingdom. And so that's why he taught Luis this gift. He doesn't want to lose anyone. He wants every one of us to be saved. All of his children. But you have to remember, there's two children. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, between your children and her children. I pray for everybody. I don't know who's on what side. I've been fooled many, many times by people who say they're on the right side. And then they show very clearly they don't like God. They don't love God. They don't care about God. But again, our job is to pray for everyone and everything, for all human generations. So he says, how could I come to reign if I, God, did not give back these divine rights of my holy divine will to humanity? In order to come to redeem, these rights were restored in my celestial mother, in my holy humanity. Only because my divine will had these first rights could I come to redeem. Otherwise, I would have found neither the way nor the place in which to descend. He wants to descend in our hearts. That's the first thing we do in the divine will. Jesus teaches us through to Luisa, I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my heart. That conception that takes place in us is Jesus says, now I want you to get ready to give birth to me. Not like Our Lady, but every act that you do is another molecule that you add to this conception of Jesus. Every act that you do acts like a molecule that's brought to this conception of Jesus. So when Jesus is formed in us, and it takes years, every thought, every word, every deed, and we can go to our past and say, I want to bring everything before the throne of God. All my thoughts, all my words, all my deeds, in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future, so the kingdom can be established in me on earth as it is in heaven. God goes, good, it's done. What does that mean? That means you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. The devil will tap you on the shoulder and say, look at your horrible life. Do you think God's going to let you come into the kingdom? You're nothing. You're nothing. There's three voices that we hear all the time. We hear the devil's voice. You're a scumbag. You hear our voice. What do I do? How do I do this? Where are we going? What's going on? Where are we? And we go, give me. I don't know what to do. And then we hear Jesus' verse. Come to me, all who love me, and I will take care of you. We have to be focused on Jesus' voice. How do we hear his voice? By spending time with him in prayer. This is why silence is so important. Jesus is speaking continuously, especially after Holy Communion. Holy Communion, that 15 minutes should be ecstasy for each and every one of us. Talking to God, God talking to us. You're not going to hear it with your ears. You may, but it's mostly your heart, your mind, your soul. So we have to discipline ourselves to hear Jesus in silence. I know so many people, I just have the TV on because I have to have some music in the house. I have to have some noise in the house. Jesus' words aren't in that house. They can't hear him. See, the devil wants us to be distracted. Even after Luisa, you look at the sports of Luisa's time. It was running, javelin, throwing, and wrestling. After Luisa was born, hockey, tennis, golf, basketball, football, soccer, hockey. You know, it goes on and on. Why? The devil said, I'm going to give them other gods so that they do not keep holy the Sabbath. Our job as Catholics is to keep holy the Sabbath. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I mentioned this before. I said to a doctor friend of mine, throw your TV out because his kids were, you know, fighting over the channel. He says, well, I threw the TV out, Father. I went, what? I was just saying it was an idea to throw the TV. He says, no, I threw that TV right out. And he, right out the door. And he said, they complained for 2 weeks and then they became friends. See, even the man who produced the television, it's the constant the way the impulse is coming to us, it hypnotizes us. In Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, they call it the hypnotic eye of death. 80 years old or 80 years old, you can't move. It's how many hours have the youth today spent on their iPhones? How wasted time where you could be falling in love with God? See, the devil doesn't want us to read. He doesn't want us to think. He wants us to obey him. And it's all through, I mean, even pharmacia, it's sorcery. We gave all our medicine to China to produce for us. And we're taking it. I remember the first stress test I took, and they said, don't take any medication. And my heart's going, boom, 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 boom. I said to the doctor, how many people die when they're here in this office by not taking the medicine? And he says, oh, nobody dies, nobody dies. I said, well, why is my heart? He says, you're in withdrawal. You need the medicine. Your body's saying, give me the medicine. I said, you mean this medicine that I'm taking is healing me? I'm addicted to it? He said, oh, yeah, you can't live without it. That's real healing, isn't it? So what Jesus is asking us, he's going to see the healing. See, the healings are in the divine will. I remember Louisa said to Jesus, my spiritual director stopped reading and he died. And she said to Jesus, would he still be alive if he was reading? And Jesus said, of course he would. The divine will is healing. It's to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve through the newborn Louisa. So this is what Jesus says. Therefore, pray united with me, Jesus said. Do not spare the sacrifice of your life for a cause that is so holy, so divine, and of the most heroic and great love towards all of humanity. The saints didn't have this. The saints did the will of God. Why didn't they have it? They didn't have Louisa. Father Bucci would say to us, you know, St. Francis is for his time, Louisa is for our time. Get to know Louisa. If you don't have a picture of her, that's one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted to bring a stack of pictures of Louisa. You can do this just by going to the internet, typing in the word Louisa, her name, Louisa Picaretta. Go to images, grab an image, take it down to your favorite copy store, and make a picture for yourself. You can make it as big as you want, or as little as you want. I'll tell you, the miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. Why? She's not a little saint. She was called Louisa the Santa when she was alive. When you get to know her, a friend of mine, this is the true story. He was in Texas and he had a massive heart attack, two heart attacks at the same time, basically. He had double pneumonia and the doctor came in and said, nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. We can make you comfortable, but there's nothing you can do. So the doctor left and Louisa appeared in the room. And even the nurses saw Louisa there. Who was that little lady that was in the room? She was there for 2 weeks, always smiling at him. The doctor never gave him any medicine. He came in, he said, you're smiling. I guess you're pretty happy. Well, this is good. After 2 weeks, they let him home. But just before he left, he asked Louisa, are you laughing at me? Or are you laughing with me? Well, I don't understand. She didn't say anything, but he knew what she was thinking. He said, because of your suffering, because you've done it in the divine will, she is so happy because the kingdom is coming sooner. All of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. When we do it for the kingdom, God goes, good. This voluntary suffering, Lord, this is what you've given me. Thank you. I'll do it for the kingdom. See, the kingdom is very, very close. It's very, very close. Jesus says the proof it's very, very close is the book of heaven. I wouldn't have given this to Luis, as he said, we heard yesterday. Why would I tell you all this if it wasn't coming? So Jesus, Luisa says, afterwards I remained concerned about what was written above, and I thought to myself, how can it be? While he says that his primary purpose of his coming upon earth was to establish the establishment of the kingdom of the divine will through redemption, it was connected together with the kingdom. The fruits of the redemption can be seen abundantly, while his fiat reigning, almost nothing can be seen yet. And Jesus added, my daughter, it would be absurd and against the divine order not to give the primacy of our holy divine will, as in fact we triune God did. I can say that first began the kingdom of the divine will in my celestial mother, and then in my own holy humanity that possessed all the fullness of the supreme will. Then came the redemption. And since the Queen of Heaven and I, by virtue of this kingdom that we possessed in the full vigor, represented the whole human family as the heads of this kingdom, Jesus and Mary, to reunite all the scattered members. See, this is going to happen. There is no question. It is precisely of this that the redemption could come. It was precisely from within the kingdom of my divine will that the redemption came out. And if I and my mother had not possessed this kingdom, it would have been a dream and would have remained in our divine mind only. Now, being the head, being the king, being the savior, and the true sanctifier of mankind, whatever is there in the head, the members have a right over it. Whatever the mother possesses, the children have a right to inherit. And here then, the redemption. The head wants to heal the members and bind them by dint of pains and of suffering and of death, so that they may avail themselves of the divine virtues of Jesus and Mary. The mother wants to reunite the children. Mary wants to make herself known to constitute them heirs of what Our Lady possesses. This is why this image of Our Lady, you're going to find out, is the greatest image that you could give to Our Lady. Our Lady of the divine indwelling. And it's not even known. Our Lady of the divine indwelling. And she's wearing the veil. Why? The wedding feast is coming. The marriage feast is coming. For all of us. This is why you wear that wedding ring. Jesus has proposed to us, and we have said yes. And he's saying, every time you look at the ring, kiss that ring and say, you're my spouse, Lord. And what does that mean? You are peaceful, joyful, and happy. Here's the necessity of time. In such a way that while redemption came out of the kingdom of my divine will as prime act, redemption shall serve as a powerful means in order to communicate to the children, to the members of the kingdom, that which the head possesses, what Jesus possesses, what Mary possesses, we will possess. And one and the other shall hold hands. And you shall say that the fruits of redemption can be seen. While nothing appears of those of the kingdom of my divine will, this says that our divine ways are not yet comprehended. We do minor things in order to give the place to our major works and to realize our primary intent. Many times it is necessary to do minor things first in order to prepare with decency the place of our major works. So what is the wonder then, if in descending from heaven to earth, our primary purpose in our divine mind was to constitute the kingdom of our divine will in the midst of the human family? This, we haven't seen anything yet. The evil one, see, when the kingdom of God comes on earth as in heaven, the devil has to leave. He's been forbidden to be in heaven. He'll be forbidden to be on earth because the kingdom of God is coming on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. What does that mean? Scripture says, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Well, the 3 days of darkness, it's death. Come to earth, Jesus says, take what's yours and get out. The kingdom is coming. See, do you understand how close we are for the kingdom? And Jesus is saying, are you ready? See, once time ends, you're not going to have any time to repent. I always thought, when time ends, I can get a quick, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended the universe. No. When time ends, it ends. It's gone. It's stopped. We have to live that life now. For our family, for our friends, for our neighbors. There's no time to waste. I mean, it'll happen like that. In a twinkling of an eye, Jesus says. This new and divine way of holiness is ours, but we have to make that leap as the Jewish faith, as the Essenes leapt. The Messiah is here to become the first Christians. We have to be the Essenes of the divine will, wanting and longing for that kingdom, to leap now to begin to live this life. If you wait, I was told this way, way, way back in the 70s, if you wait for anybody to enter the divine will, you'll wait forever. You have to do this for them. And then they will have the courage and the strength to enter into this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So Jesus says, our primary purpose of our divine mind was to constitute the kingdom of our divine will in the midst of the human family, more so since the first offense that Adam gave us was directed precisely against our divine will. Therefore, with divine justice, our first intent was to be directed to rejoining of the offending side of our divine will and to return to it its royal palace. Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa, I'm going to clothe you in divinity. Adam lost that clothing of divinity. He was naked. And that's where we've been for 6,000 years. And now Jesus says, with this gift, I'm going to reclothe my children in that divine ability that Adam lost. This is receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. This is volume 20 through volume 36. To become a saint, you have to know and live volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, the second Pentecost that's coming, it's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to what God has planned for humanity. And he's asked us to be ready for this. We have to hear the Holy Spirit. For example, something terrible came to the earth about 3 years ago. And the Holy Spirit said, don't. The majority said, I'm going to. It was voluntary. We have to hear the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying doom and gloom. God is here for healing. He wants us to be healed. But why did the majority of people not hear the Holy Spirit? Oh, I wanted to go for a coffee in the Bahamas. I'll give up my life for that. Oh, I don't want to lose my job. I'll give up my life for that. It's the Holy Spirit just said no. See, we have to be in tune to hear what God wants. He said it will be like at the time of Noah. What was at the time of Noah? It was the sons of God had children of the daughters of Adam. And the DNA was corrupted. And God said, I'm tired of humanity. They are so corrupted. But I found one family that had a pure line to Adam and Eve. The DNA was not damaged. The DNA was not changed. Jesus says the same thing today. Who has a pure line to the new Adam and the new Eve? It's Louisa. If we are with Louisa, this is why the little family of Louisa is so essential for today. Archbishop Ficheri said, become a member of the little family. Become a member of the little family. I don't care how corrupted you become. When you enter into this family, there is healing, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healing. God's going to take care of everyone. But he has to see what we want. They laughed at Noah building a boat in the desert. I mean, a cruise liner in the desert. This thing was huge. And he built it for 120 years. Everybody mocked him and ridiculed him and laughed at him. You're an idiot building a boat in the desert. What's so, yeah. God wants me to. What are we doing? We're the idiots today. You wear the scapular, you pray the rosary, you go to confession, you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you attend Holy Mass, you're in the state of grace, you keep holding the Sabbath. You're the idiot. Do you see, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be laughed at. So what? I don't want to offend God. So as the first things as Catholics, we want to keep holy the Sabbath. We want to make sure we give that day back to God. So after this, with the redemption coming, redemption came and indeed in a superabundant way, with such excess of love to astound both heaven and earth. But why before? Because it was to serve, to prepare with decency, with decorum, with sumptuousness, with endowment of my pains and my very death as kingdom. This is where we are, as army, as cortege, to let my divine will reign. We are at war, and it's a war of love. It's not a war of blood. 533, 531, 1935, I was thinking to myself, it seems impossible to me that this kingdom of the divine world may come. How can it come if evils abound in such a horrifying way? And Jesus then said, by coming upon earth, suffering and dying, I came to bring man to safety, that is, my dwelling. Wouldn't that seem strange to you that while I was saving the dwelling, the owner, the inhabitant of it, would be left without his rights, without a dominion, without power to reach safety, hence reach safety himself? No, my daughter. It would be absurd. And without the order of our divine infinite wisdom, redemption and the kingdom of my divine will are one single thing. See, this is, the 2,000 years is over. The kingdom is here. You have to understand this. It's inseparable from each other. My coming upon earth came to form the redemption for mankind, and at the same time, it came to form the kingdom of my most holy divine will in order to save myself, to take back my rights that by justice are due to me as creator. We owe him everything. And redemption, I expose myself to so many humiliations, to unheard of pains, to dying crucified. I submitted myself to everything to bring my dwelling to safety and restore in it all the sumptuousness, all the divine beauty, all the divine magnificence with which I, God, had formed it, so that it might be worthy of me, God, once again. Everything's, we're going back to paradise. Now, when it seemed that everything was over and my enemies were satisfied, for they had taken my life, my power has no limits, and I called my holy humanity back to life. And by rising again, everything rose together with me, the creatures, my pains, the goods acquired for their sake. And as my holy humanity triumphed over death, so did my divine will rise again and triumph in humanity. It triumphed in us. Waiting for its kingdom. Had my holy humanity not risen again and not had this divine power, redemption would have failed and one would doubt that it was truly the work of a God. It was my resurrection that made me known for who I was and placed the seal over all the goods that I came to bring upon earth. In the same way, my divine will shall be the double seal. This double stamp. See, sealing is branding. We're going to do that hopefully this afternoon. We want to be branded. We want to belong to God. We don't want anything but that brand, that sealing, which is the transmission into creatures, transmission into humanity of its kingdom, of my holy, that my holy humanity possessed. More so, since it was for the humanity that I formed this kingdom of my divine will within my holy humanity, why not give it then? At the most, it shall be a matter of time. That's been 2,000 years. And for us, the times are one single point. Our power shall make such prodigies, lavishing upon mankind new and abundant graces, new and abundant life, new and abundant light. And as our dwelling shall be recognizes us, Triune God, and they themselves of their own spontaneous will, the fiat. It's just yes. He loves spontaneity, Jesus says. And I give us the dominion. Give God the dominion over us. We want you to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. We want this. So shall our life be placed in safety with its full vigor back in humanity. With time, you shall see what my divine power knows how to do and can do. How it can conquer everything. It will knock down the most obstinate rebels. Who can ever resist my divine power such that one single breath of God, I knock down, I destroy, I redo everything as I best please. What is that? To bring us back to Him. Therefore, you pray. So He's saying to us, I need your prayers. I need your fiat. I need your yes. Let it be a continuous cry. This is the cry. May the kingdom of your divine fiat come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This echo is echoing Jesus and Mary. They want this for us. And the first one who did this was the newborn, Louisa. We echo with Louisa. For Louisa? No. For the life of Jesus and Mary. Volume 33:7-8, 1935. I remained in these oceans of the celestial sovereign, but who can say what I comprehended? And my highest good, Jesus continued, saying, my daughter, how beautiful is my mother. Her majesty is enchanting. Before her sanctity, the heavens lower themselves. Her riches are endless and incalculable. No one can be said to be similar to the Blessed Mother. And as mother, she has her innumerable children. As queen, she shall have her people of the kingdom of the divine will. These children, and hopefully that's us, and these people, hopefully that's us, shall form for her most refulgent crown. Some will be suns, some will be stars, and others will crown her august head with such divine beauty as to enrapture the whole of heaven. So the children of the kingdom of my divine will shall be those who shall render the Blessed Mother the honors of queen, transforming into sun. They shall form for her the most beautiful crown. And this is why Our Lady longs intensely for, this longing for has to be ours as well, for the coming of this kingdom. Because after her refulgent crown with which the Most Holy Trinity crowned her, she awaits the crown of her children, of her people, who proclaiming Our Lady Queen, who would offer to her their lives transformed into sons as an attestation of honor and of glory. Do you see why we're alive today? 1935. And I said to myself, but who knows who shall see this kingdom of the divine fiat when it comes? Oh, how difficult it seems. These are our doubts. Louisa, my daughter, how many times a strong wind sweeps and away entire cities and transports people, trees, soil, and water to the other places, perhaps far away, without being able to oppose it? Much more so shall our divine wind do. This power of God, you haven't seen anything yet, wanted, decreed by us, Triune God, with our creative power. And besides, there is this Queen of Heaven, the Blessed Mother, who with her empire prays continuously for the coming of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. And when have we ever denied anything to the Blessed Mother? Her prayers are mighty winds for us, and we cannot resist the very strength of our will that she possesses is for us empire command. She has all the rights to impetrate it because she possessed it on earth and she possesses it in heaven. Therefore, as possessor, she, the Blessed Mother, can give what is hers, so much so that this kingdom shall be called the kingdom of the celestial empress. Our Lady shall be act as queen amidst her children on earth. Our Lady shall place at their disposal her seas, these oceans of divine graces, of divine sanctity, of divine power, and she put to flight all the enemies. See, this is, we're so close to this. She shall raise her children on her lap. She shall hide within her light, covering them with her love, nourishing them with her own hands, with the food of the divine will. What shall this mother and queen not do in the midst of this kingdom, her children and her people? Our Lady shall give unheard of graces. Our Lady shall give unheard of surprises, never before seen, miracles that shall shake heaven and earth. And we, Triune God, shall give the Blessed Mother all the free field that she may form for us, the kingdom of our divine will on earth. Our Lady shall be the guide. Our Lady shall be the true model. And it shall also be the kingdom of the celestial sovereign queen. Therefore, pray. We have to learn how to pray the rounds. We have to learn how to pray doing our acts together with the Blessed Mother. And in due time, you shall obtain the intent. So we'll end there, and the next thing is confession and free time. If you can get to confession, it would be very good. It's at 10 o'clock till 11:30. And please be silent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.